This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I have two of my favorite people on today. We have Al Gordon, and we have Larry Ralston. And we just heard the commercial that you guys have on our show, and it's absolutely great. And I was listening to your voice, Al, and you have a radio voice. Have you ever thought about maybe getting out of the photography business and going into radio?
Not even once. I didn't even know I had a radio voice, but it's interesting to hear that.
Well, you guys make a great duet. You know, Larry's been on a number of times, and you guys are so, I guess, so many varied interests and so many different people that you know. And you don't just deal with one business. I mean, photography, of course, that's your chief way of having an income, I guess. But you guys are so good at it. I mean, you are the ultimate when it comes to professionalism.
Thanks. Part of what I like to do is every day is going to be different. And we never get in a rut, because every day you're photographing something different, photoshopping something different. It's just a great life.
Yeah, it's an interesting life. And I was looking, you go around and you teach classes all over the place, and not just here, but you go everywhere and you teach.
Right. I've been to Las Vegas, I've been to Jamaica, I've been to Philadelphia, I've been to Pittsburgh, Florida, all over the place, and I teach professional photography to them.
Now, what is the difference between professional photography and just your normal everyday life, to go out and take pictures of everything and make them look professional?
Well, part of what a professional has to do is, at a wedding or any kind of event, no matter how bad the weather is or how bad a mood the bride's in, you've got to be able to perform and create a great image no matter what you're dealt with. And if, as an amateur, you know, if you don't have a great sunset, you wait a couple of days and you go back out, or if you know the camera didn't work right, you can go back and reshoot it. Well, a wedding, you can't redo it. Or, you know, a newborn baby, it's hard to capture that again. So The main thing is, a professional's got to always be in the mood to do the best job he can and to be able to perform in a crunch situation.
Now, would the wedding, from both of you, would that be the most stressful job you have? Because you know it has to be perfect for the bride and usually for the mom also.
Sometimes you think of it as combat photography, but go ahead, Larry.
Wedding photography, Al and I both still really enjoy photographing weddings. Mm-hmm. I enjoy photographing weddings just as much today as I did my very, very first wedding I did. And yes, you have to stay on schedule. You have to do everything in a time-sensitive situation, because that bride has got to go from point A to point B to point C and keep on time and on schedule. And it's very rewarding to see the smile on the bride and groom's face when you present the pictures to them, and the mother of the bride and groom as well, because they really enjoy it when you give them a real good coverage like that.
Now, when you were awarded as having the best photograph, the best photographer, you brought that up here because I asked you to last time. It is absolutely gorgeous. And you hit it, and you were talking about the point system, how you're graded. And relate that back to the people, because I find that extremely unusual how they do that.
Well, in national and state judging, they're judged on 0 to 100. Mm-hmm. Anything above an 80 is considered merit quality, which is really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. This print in front of me scored a 97, and there was just a couple of technical things that would have made it a perfect 100, and they only give out like one of those a year. It never really happens that you get a perfect 100, but they're looking for impact and storytelling and color quality and all kinds of different things, 12 different elements.
And the one thing that kind of kept it from being a perfect 100 was the two flower girls.
Yeah, the two flower girls are, this is a posed picture, but I posed them in about a minute, mm-hmm. because we had actually another wedding party with another photographer waiting for this spot.
Wow.
So I did it really, I just kind of saw it in my mind, but what I didn't do is I put the two bridesmaids butted up next to each other, and because they weren't separated, it made a 3-point difference from a perfect 100.
You know, when you go out and teach, and you're looking at people's their faces, their profiles, and things like that, there are a number of things as a professional that you're going to see that nobody else is going to see. And I was looking at some of these, and one of them is a large nose. And when you have a large nose, or a person who is well endowed with a proboscis or something like that,
right.
What do you do? How do you compensate for that?
Well, the first thing, when somebody comes in, I'll look at their face. I'm not going to tell them I'm looking at their face, but mm-hmm. I'm looking to look at their eyes and their nose, and if they have one side better than the other. But the one thing about the nose, if you want to reduce the nose sizes, use more of a telephoto lens, mm-hmm. and you back up a little bit more. And you don't do a profile, you do a full face. And that, you won't see the large nose.
Well, we all know that, we were discussing this before we went on the air, most movie stars have one side that they prefer over the other. And,
right.
and I know they almost end up in combat a lot of times when you have a director who wants to film them in another way. And the long, tall face, you use broad lighting,
right.
and uneven eyes. Now, I am one of these people that evidently I'm not very conscious about how people look, but I didn't realize that we all pretty much had uneven eyes.
Truman, you've got your left eye is smaller than your right. Almost everybody's got one eye that's either got a little bit of a droopy eyelid or just a little bit different size.
Uh-huh.
Bill Clinton is if you look at him, one eye is way smaller than the other.
Uh-huh.
So it's we just try to do everything to make that person's face look as good as it possibly can be.
Well, now, does it matter what you've got one eye that's a different size, or how do you relate to that?
Well, you don't notice it when you're just talking to somebody, but
uh-huh.
if you look at their picture, you start scrutinizing, or especially the person that's being photographed will look at themselves, and they say, do I look good, or do they not look good?
Mm-hmm.
You could look at a picture of 100 people, and you're going to zero in on your picture first and make sure you look good. So everybody needs to look as good as they can.
Well, it's also just like when you're photographing a lady.
Mm-hmm.
She can sit there like if you're doing a head and shoulder, and she can tilt her head any way she wants to in all angles. But a man is limited. A man can only tilt his head in one direction, and we explain this to men when we photograph them, because if we don't explain it to them, they get that real puzzled look on their face like, what are you trying to do to me? You know, this is not natural.
He's already in a strain to start with.
But a man can only be photographed in one position as far as the tilting of that head. It's known as a weak pose and a strong pose. And you always photograph the man in the strong position. A lady can be photographed either in the weak position or to strong position, either one. But most people don't understand that. And a lot of men, when you just stand around talking to one another, maybe stand there with the head tilted in the weak position, but you're not noticing it because you're talking and you're concentrating on what you're saying in the conversation, not how a person looks, body language.
Now, you're talking about strong or weak.
Uh-huh.
Now, how do you determine which is the weak side and which is the strong side?
Well, when you're photographing a man, mm-hmm. the strong pose would be you're kind of leaning in toward the camera and you kind of got your head tilted in the direction that you're slightly leaning.
Okay.
Now, the opposite of that would be tilting your head back this way. And this
which kind of looks bad.
It looks
right.
For a man, it looks real bad.
Yeah.
It looks real weak and looks real feminine, where the strong pose is the masculine pose.
And we'll photograph, like a female real estate person, we'll photograph her in a strong pose because she wants to show that she can handle your sale.
Mm-hmm.
But other, like if it's another person that wants to be like a mother kind of picture, we'll tilt her the other way to create more of a feminine look. So,
as professionals, can you tell the personalities of individuals strictly by the way they want to be photographed?
Yeah, I mean, you get a pretty good guess on, you know, what they like, what they don't like, just by the way they move. So definitely.
I was looking through some of your photographs, and some of them, you can tell that almost that you emotionally get caught up in what you're doing, and some of them are the beach scenes, and
right.
one of them you even mentioned in this booklet that you got so caught up in photographing the couple that you walked right into the ocean and ruined your cell phone.
That's happened actually enough to me. I have no cell phone insurance anymore. I've been banned from having cell phone insurance because I've dunked three in the ocean because I got involved in the session. not real smart, but it was worth it. I mean, the shot you're talking about got first place in the state of Florida and first place in the state of Tennessee. So
in essence, you guys are actually artists. Once you get in, you're not just into photography. I mean, you are actually making something special of the people that you're photographing.
Yeah, photography is an art form. Mm-hmm. And if you go back through history and look at the cavemen, you know, of course, photography went around them, but they're always sketching images on the wall. Mm-hmm. So art and photography is an art form. It has always fascinated people all through the ages. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you that you can walk into a complete stranger's house, and if there's a coffee table sitting there with a scrapbook on it, you're going to pick that scrapbook up knowing you don't know anybody in that scrapbook because you enjoy looking at photographs. Mm-hmm. And that's how a lot of us humans, we relate to one another, is through art, images, and photography.
Well, this morning we photographed a bunch of preschool kids. And most people think you just throw up a background, but actually they wanted a jungle theme. So we spent hours trying to recreate in our heads, and then we bought what we needed to do to create this beautiful jungle theme. And I think it's better. It turned out fantastic. So it's just, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about that to photograph the child in that theme.
Mm-hmm. So you pretty much go by whatever the individual, the people that are wanting the photographs, You try to go with what their opinions are or their ideals are as much as you can.
Right. The first thing I do is...
But you enhance those as you go.
Right. The first thing I do is make sure the client has what they need. And near the end of the session, I say, well, can I try some things myself? Because mm-hmm. I have to, as an artist, I have to try some interesting things and push my limits too. And a lot of times, those are the pictures they like afterwards. So
yeah, I think of a photography shop and photographers. I don't know if photographers is the right word for you guys or not, but I think of you having a studio and you have people that are coming in and wanting their photo taken, and you pretty much stay there 8, 9, 10 hours a day. That's not true. You guys travel all over to get the real photos that people want and are willing to pay for it.
Right.
I'm sure they pay for your expenses and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Else.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got one coming up that you've got to go. In fact, you both told me that you're going to miss the Blackman Barbecue, which is outrageous.
That's true. I'm heading out a couple hours after this and heading to Florida. I have a wedding on Saturday in Florida, and then I'm heading back here on Monday. And then Larry has a wedding in Lebanon on Saturday.
So. But you can tell John L. Beatty that we're sorry that we missed it. Other than that, if it wasn't for business, we'd be there.
I tell you what I'll do. You guys can write out a check to the Blackman community, and I will take it over there and personally hand it to John L. And speaking of that, I don't want to miss that because I've got this little thing from John L. And it's tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And that's when it starts, and it goes to 8 p.m. And it's on the... it's at the Lane Agri Park facility. That's 315 John Rice Boulevard. And they're going to have smoked pork barbecue and some of the best you've ever eaten. And it's cooked right there on the site. B&T's Cajun Country is catering. Beans, coleslaw, chips, hot dogs available for children, and I guess for everybody else. Adult prices are $8. Children 12 and under, $4. And the Bluegrass Band, Hands of Time, and the Cripple Creek Cloggers are going to be there. And you have pony rides for children, face painting, bouncy house, and you're also going to have the big auction that they have every year. So everybody get ready and meet all of our buddies over there tomorrow at 5 o'clock and have a good time. Now, you are part of the cinema industry, Larry. I mean, you've been working with Bill Brooks, who is a famous name. It's somebody I never get to meet. He seems like he's always traveling somewhere, and he was supposed to be on the show today, and Al was kind enough to be on, and we were going to touch some about what's going on at Jackson Heights and what's going on with the movie industry.
Well, right now we have Rock of Ages showing, and that's my boy, Madagascar number 3. And Prometheus is showing, and Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
Now, starting tomorrow is when most new movies come out is on Friday. Starting tomorrow, we're going to have Brave. That's a Scottish cartoon type feature, and it's really going to be really, really promising movie for the children as well as the parents, because I've seen sneak previews of it, and it's going to be a really, really great movie. Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, that's Steve Carell's new movie.
I like him.
And it's a comedy, and Rock of Ages. And now Rock of Ages is a musical, and it's about the 70s and 80s music. And that also stars Tom Cruise in there. And That's My Boy will be playing also in Madagascar 3 and Prometheus.
Now, That's My Boy was a movie made back in the, I think it was in the 40s. It may have been a little bit later. Do you remember that movie?
I remember That's My Hero.
No, this was That's My Boy. And,
okay.
And I remember it. It was one of my favorites as a kid watching it, because it's about a father that he has all kinds of problems with his family, and he's got this son that he's just so keen about.
Okay.
And if that's just like that, you probably don't know who stars in that. But if I'm not mistaken, do you remember The Great Gildersleeve?
I do.
I believe the great Gildersleeve was the one who played the lead in that movie. And, you know, he had that great laugh, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it just absolutely just wiped you out. But I'm going to go. I love going to that theater because it's so much fun. But Bill called me from Alabama. And they had called him down on an emergency. They were going to have to shut down the theater unless he came down there and straightened out everything. Well, now, how in the world am I ever going to get him on my show if he continues to travel all over the place?
Well, Bill is a genius when it comes to movie equipment and everything. He can tear a projector totally down, rebuild it, and put it all back together again. And that's what he had to do down in Fort Rooker, Alabama. He had to go down there and work on some projectors. And he does working on projectors all over the whole southeastern part of the United States. He's in big demand, more so than people realize. And he knows his projector work and mechanical work and how to do all that. Bill, like I say, can do anything.
Now, you guys have changed a lot in how you present your movies. Do you have the same type of equipment, say, like they would at Fort Rooker, where Bill has gone to? Because you guys are continually updating your equipment and making the quality so much better.
Correct. In two of our theaters, we have digital projectors now. And those two movies there and those two auditoriums are digital. The other four are still film movies. And he's wanting, once he gets these two digital projectors paid for, he's wanting to get two more digital projectors and increase that. We're also in the process of getting ready to accept credit cards and debit cards, because we have a lot of people coming up there with their credit cards. And we actually got the machine in. We just don't have it hooked up just yet, but we're hoping to get it hooked up maybe within the next couple of weeks.
You know, most people my age don't carry money. I mean, we carry credit cards. And the first time that I guess it's been over a year ago now, we went over there, and I didn't have anything but my card with me. And I was stuck. I mean, I couldn't believe that as popular a place as Jackson Heights Theater is, that you guys didn't have those.
Well, one of the reasons Bill has always been so reluctant about taking credit cards and debit cards is he's trying his best to hold the price down on everything.
So it actually drives the price up.
It does. It does. Because there's a percentage that he will have to pay back to the credit card holders who do all that processing and so forth. And he's really looked at it long and hard, and he's been fighting it for the last couple of years. But he finally went ahead and decided he needs to start taking the credit cards.
I've noticed that some of the restaurants are doing the same thing, because I've been going to a lot of them for years, and I have to go by the bank and get a couple of dollars so I can go over and get a bite to eat. And almost everybody is kind of, I guess, biting the bullet a little bit and going to the credit cards, because we like convenience, and we're a country of convenience. And if you don't get it, you'll go somewhere else. Although you guys have really done well over there, but I really do like that. I presume that you're going to use the credit cards for everything in there.
Oh yeah, the concessions as well.
Right,
and we're really known for our popcorn, because we pop our popcorn fresh daily inside the theater. Mm-hmm. And a lot of your bigger chain outfits, they have so many screens at that theater, they buy their popcorn already pre-popped. Mm-hmm. And they just put it in the warmer to make you think they are popping it, but they don't pop it on the spot like we do.
I've got a buddy that he goes to the theater, I think, just to eat the popcorn. And instead of going, like a lot of people, they'll go somewhere and dine first or dine mm-hmm. afterwards. He will not eat anything, so he supper is going to be his popcorn. And he'll get the big box. And I didn't think that anybody could eat that. He did, so I ordered the big box. And two of us finished that box. I mean, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. But it was so good. But if you're used to nuking it and putting it and if you got it where it's going to pop automatically, then it tastes different. You know, they put out all these, and it says movie theater popcorn and all that, and you put it in there, it doesn't taste the same.
The only time you can get movie theater popcorn is going to the movie, and only if that theater is popping their popcorn fresh daily. That's the only way you're going to be able to get it. And we pop ours fresh daily. And we have a lot of people who drop in there, and they'll come up to the ticket office, and they'll say, oh, I don't want to see a movie today. I just want to come in and buy some popcorn. I'm going to take it home with me.
Hmm.
They'll come in and buy popcorn, and they'll take
it home. Well, you know, we used to do that at the Princess Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of times we would walk right off the street, go in there, and order the popcorn. I don't remember the big boxes. It was mostly in the big bags.
Right.
But, I mean, that was a treat for us when we were kids. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Wherever life leads you, Cannonburg Moving and Storage will get you there.
Family-owned and operated, Cannonburg Moving and Storage has been moving Middle Tennesseans since 1972. Commercial, residential, local, and long distance, moving by the hour or flat rate, wherever life leads you, we'll get you there. Make the right move. Call Cannonburg Moving and Storage.
Planning your next move? Whether it's across town or across the country, Cannonburg Moving and Storage can help. 907-8102. That's 907-8102.
Have you ever considered how trust plays an important role every time you buy something? Today's savvy consumers know the most important step to customer trust and satisfaction is doing business with a company that has made a public commitment to doing what is right. All BBB members have made that commitment. Check out GoBBB.org for a list of our accredited businesses. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hot Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
I've got pesties, buzzing rodents running all through my house. Ants chewing wood, and look, there's a mouse. I overrun with pests, but you're gonna be sure, safe and secure. It's the last rites for those pests. Best of the best to get rid of your pests.
893-7111. AmeriCare Services Incorporated. Call us today. 893-7111.
It's time now for Good Neighbor Events from WGNS. An artwork by James Spearman is on display right now through July the 27th in the rotunda of the Murfreesboro City Hall. That's through July the 27th. And you're encouraged to celebrate the 4th of July with your friends here in Murfreesboro over at McKnight Park. It starts with a day of fun at the Murfreesboro Beach. That's the outdoor pool and water park at SportsCom. At 9 o'clock, a fantastic fireworks display set to music by the Murfreesboro Symphony. And if the weather forces any changes, tune to WGNS. And the 13th Annual Special Kids Friend Raiser will be at the World Outreach Church at 5:30 Thursday evening, July 19th. Motivational speaker John Acuff is the guest. Call Special Kids for information, 893-4892. And the 117th Annual Sons of Confederate Veterans Reunion will be in Murfreesboro this year. That's right, July the 11th through the 14th over at the Embassy Suites and Conference Center. Oh, check our website for more Good Neighbor events and local news, too. It's all free. WGNSradio.com. And those are Good Neighbor events.
Today is Thursday, June 21st. Our WGNS birthday cake winner this morning was 15-year-old Anna Wagoner. Today, Anna is going to receive a free birthday cake, compliments of locally owned and operated Junior's Foodland on East Main Street.
What makes Murfreesboro Automotive different from all the others?
We try to go through every avenue to save people money.
Chuck Haynes at Murfreesboro Automotive.
They just might need some windshield wipers put on. We'll do that. If the vehicle needs another engine, we try to save money by going to some of these pre-owned lots and buy an engine or a transmission and install it.
Discover the difference at Murfreesboro Automotive. Just turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's. They're on Ridgely Road.
Weather Eye.
Mainly sunny this afternoon, high in the mid-90s. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low near 69. Friday, sunny to partly cloudy, chance of showers and storms, high of 93. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 93.
Play it again, sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville, Slugger, and Worth. But at Played Against Sports Prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with us. We have Mr. Al Gordon and his buddy over here, Larry. And did you tell me that, which one of you told me that you have a niece that's working over at home care?
I do.
Yeah.
I've got a stepdaughter that works over at home care. She works for me.
That is a really great place to work. You know, Melissa Warren started that business, and it's located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And you can give them a call at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And if you're having trouble keeping up with your responsibilities at home, and it looks like there's a possibility that you may have to relocate from your home, well, you don't have to. Give them a call. They come in 24/7, take care of all your responsibilities, run errands for you, and they just make life so much better. So give them a call, 713-4639. Of course, you were one of the people that Cheryl Rogers Barnett always comes to see, Larry. You and Fred, you guys travel a lot. You go all over and do some interesting things that the rest of us, we don't even dream about.
Well, I don't travel as much as Fred does.
I don't think anybody does
the traveling.
Yeah.
But I go to Vegas with him every year and help him out there to the National Championship Rodeo Show. Mm-hmm. And that's where I get to see Cheryl Rogers a lot out there. And Rex Allen Jr. is usually there as well. And we sell a lot of music CDs and photographs of cowboy stars, movie posters, things of that nature. It's what Fred does. I help him.
So you guys, there's still a lot of nostalgia when
Correct.
It comes to the cowboys that we all grew up with.
Exactly.
That's amazing how much they're still there. Do you think that's something that's going to continue? I hope it does. Where, I've got a friend Terry Malone, he and I love old Westerns, mm-hmm. and he's got the Western Channel, and I don't have it, and I'm going to have to break down and get it. But we talk about the old movies that were so great, and he was talking about even the young ones now, if they have a chance to see some of those movies, that they actually become infatuated just like mm-hmm. we did.
Right.
And they're so much more realistic than the things that you see today.
Well, the theme of those Westerns back then, you know, the good guys always wore the white hats.
That's right.
Bad guys wore
the
black
hats. You know who they were.
So you know who was good and who was bad.
Yeah.
And the good guys always won in the end, and the bad guys always lost. And that was the theme of the whole story of everything, and everything was just great.
Now you've got the anti-hero who
right.
is the hero.
Yeah.
And they do all types of things that it's impossible for them to do. I mean, they wipe out a whole town or whatever with a six gun. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find. Maybe my imagination just does not go along with what they're creating now.
I agree with you. They want to be so realistic nowadays in movies, and I think that takes away of a lot of things to go to a movie and just be able to enjoy.
They are realistic?
A lot of them are. They're getting too realistic in movies.
Well, the one that really kind of turned me against war movies, and it's a great movie, Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, it is brutal, especially that first scene as it goes on. I mean, it is tough. Now, let's switch a little bit to baseball.
All right.
Al, your dad was a great baseball player, and he played back when baseball was king. We had baseball in all the neighborhoods. We had them in Kittrell and Las Casas and Rockville and Eagleville and Smyrna. It just went all over Old Jefferson. I shouldn't say Smyrna, Old Jefferson. And it was one of those times where guys knew how to have fun. They knew how to enjoy each other's friendships, and they knew how to compete. And your dad was one of those people that everybody remembers when we have our old-timers baseball.
I'm looking forward to going to those. Since I've been in Florida, I've never been able to attend, but maybe next time I can.
So. Now, tell me about the book.
I've still got a few left. My dad has written like a book about his wife's, my mom's side of the family, wrote a book about his grandmother, or his mother, my grandmother, and wrote a book about his side of the family, and then he wrote a book about baseball, and he's he just had a smile on his face every time he, of course he had to type it out, this is before computers, but he sure enjoyed doing that.
You know, I've got that book, and it's so interesting how it relates baseball with each community. And it breaks down the people who live in each community and keeps up with them and pretty much gives their age and what they were doing. And it was so fascinating that all of that part of history can be done just through that one sport of baseball and how much it meant to this area.
I know he spent hours and hours researching it because he didn't want to have any, you know, wrong facts in there. So he spent many hours on the phone talking to you guys and just trying to make sure everything was right.
And pretty good dentist, too.
Right.
Eye doctor.
Oh, that's right. He was an eye doctor.
Yep.
Well, there you go. Yeah, look at my face.
We went to Dr. Ezel for that side.
Yeah, Pete.
Yep.
Great guy. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to
heroes.
Yeah.
Well, one of the best heroes in Rutherford County is Joey Meadors. And you had him on your show a couple of weeks ago.
I don't remember seeing him in a movie.
And you need to get him back over here so you can spend a whole hour with Joey. Now, when we were in elementary school, Isaac Critchlow and Joey was at Hopgood. Mm-hmm. We played each other in football. Mm-hmm. And Critchlow beat Hopgood, just tore them all to pieces and just run them into the ground. And later on in that particular school year, I got my leg broke. Mm-hmm. So that knocked me out of the football season for the next year. So in the eighth grade, when Joey Meadors was in the eighth grade and I was in the eighth grade, then Hopgood did go undefeated. I give them that much credit. They went undefeated and they were the city champions. But the only reason they went undefeated is because I was knocked out of the season that year because I couldn't play football because I'd have my leg operated on. And if I was on the football team, we would have beat Hopgood and we would have beat Joey Meadors.
So you were that good, huh?
Well, I don't know, but I enjoyed playing the game.
Well, the thing about it is Critchlow's gone now, and Hopgood's still there.
That's true. That is
true. In fact, I noticed that they're doing some building. They're making it larger when
now,
I went by the
Now, I don't know whether I was that good in football or not, but I will share this information with you. The great Teddy Marsh.
Great ball player, quarterback
for MTSU. They retired his jersey. He told me this personally. He copied his quarterbacking style from me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But see, when I got my leg broke in the seventh grade, Dr. Kaufman told me not to ever play football again. So I needed to get to play high school football.
So Teddy Morris, who held all kinds of records passing at MTSU, copied his style and the way he threw from you.
From me. That's what he told me, yeah.
That's amazing.
Because Teddy and I, we played a lot of backyard football and all of that as we were kids growing up. And when I first met Teddy, was in Miss Robinson's room at Critchlow. He came in about mid-year, and Miss Robinson says, class, we have a new pupil in class here, Theodore Morris. I turned around and looked at him. I said, Theodore? He said, just call me Teddy.
I'm glad you said that, because every once in a while I see Teddy out there, and I have never heard him called Theodore.
That's his,
as
that's
long
his
as I've known him. He's got a great little grandson, Eli.
Teddy is a great
ball player.
Yeah,
I had Clark Maples' daughter on the other day, Betsy, and she's just as sweet as she can be. And looking at her face, as pretty as she is, she looks exactly like Clark. I don't know how Clark could be pretty, but she looked exactly like him. And it's great to go back into the what I call the golden age back then of the schools, because that's basically what influenced us at the time. Now, who was your coach? At Critchlow.
Butler James.
Oh, Butler James. He was he was Gilbert Sharon's assistant when I first started playing baseball.
Yeah.
And
well,
one of the nicest people.
Butler taught the split grade at Critchlow. He taught the 7th grade and 8th grade. And I had him in the 7th grade. And when I went up to the 8th grade, I asked him, I said, Mr. James, please get me next year because I want to be in your class again, which he did. And I really thought the world of Butler James. He was a great teacher, great coach. He also coaches in basketball as well as football.
Now, how did you have split grade, 7th and 8th? I don't remember ever doing that.
Well, back then, they had a split grade at Critchlow. He taught both grades, and it was pretty common back then for some schools to have split grades, like 5th and 6th grade or 7th and 8th, whatever.
Did you have the classes, if you were in the 7th grade, did you have your class with 8th graders?
Correct, yeah. He would teach 7th grade, and while he was teaching 7th grade, the 8th graders would be getting their homework or whatever and studying another assignment he gave them. Then when he got through teaching us, he'd go over and teach the 8th graders. Then he'd give us assignment to be doing on our own. And, of course, at the end of the day, we had to turn all that work in and give it to him.
But you weren't studying this at the same level.
No, we were studying 7th grade and 8th grade.
And then
it was all done in the same room. Sure was.
Now, most of the people that you had in the 7th and 8th grade that were with you, the students that were with you, did most of them go to Central at that time?
Yes.
Because when you were going to Critchlow, most of us that lived out in the county went to our county schools.
Right.
So they didn't really feed into those schools
at
the room.
Critchlow had a lot of county kids coming in to school there at Critchlow, because they would ride the school bus in, where all the city people would either walk to school or the parents would bring them in their car. And most of us back then, we'd walk to school, because we were within 4 or 5 blocks of the school, so everybody would usually walk.
I know there was a lot of competition between Critchlow and Mitchell Nielsen,
right,
when Mitchell Nielsen
was
built. And I don't know if it was the thought of going to a newer school or whatever, but Mitchell Nielsen really dug into Critchlow quite a bit when they built that.
They did, and Teddy Morris, he started out at Critchlow, and when they built Mitchell Nielsen, of course, he was zoned for Mitchell Nielsen. He went to Mitchell Nielsen his 7th and 8th grade year, but he was at Critchlow his 5th and 6th grade year.
That's what a lot of people don't realize, that you're talking about zoning. Zoning really did come into play back then, because most of the time when you went to school, whether it's in a county school or a city school, you went with people that you were already acquainted with as a rule. There's very few times that you would have a new kid on the block, so to speak. And I never will forget, when I was at Kittrell, I was transferred to Mitchell Nielsen in the 7th grade under Gilbert Sharon, and I never will forget how they emphasized that I was a new student and how much they bent over backwards to make sure that I was comfortable, because being from a country area, I wasn't used to a whole lot of new people. And it really, I never will forget that, even when I went and played baseball that first year. Gilbert Sharon made sure that every kid came up and talked to me, introduced themselves to me, and tell me how much it meant for me to be on their team. I mean, that's special. That's something that a lot of times you don't see that anymore.
Yeah, that's just the difference in the schools back then as opposed to where they are, I guess, today.
And then we all fed into the big school, Central High School.
Central High School, sure did.
And I don't know, I guess it's the same for almost everybody. There were a lot of new people on board because it was the big school that everybody fed in from, it seemed like. And it was hard for me to get adjusted to the size of the school and having to walk all from one end of the school to the other to go into the new classrooms.
Well, see, I grew up on North Church Street, and Bobby Modrell lived a few houses down
there's
from
a name
me.
From the past.
And I've known Bobby all my life and everything. So when he started teaching at Central High School, I was a freshman, and I'd pass him in the hall, and everybody'd say, "Hey, Mr. Modrell, how you doing, Mr. Modrell? Hi, Mr. Modrell." When I'd see him, I'd say, "Hey, Bobby, how you doing?" He'd say, "Hey, Ralston, how are you?" I never could call him Mr. Modrell because I've always known him as Bobby all my life, you know.
Well, he was one of those guys that was blessed with great physical talent. I mean, he could play football as good as anybody back then. But he was always very supportive when he was teaching you when you was playing football. I mean, when I was a freshman, he was out there on the field with us, of course, as you know, when you played football at Central, you had a lot of discipline when you put that uniform on. But there were always people like Bobby Modrell and some of the others that would step forward and make you feel more comfortable.
Yeah, Mr. Burkett was a good one to do that.
Mr. Bob Burkett was one of the nicest people and one of the more one of the top athletes that I've ever known. He could do everything. Mm-hmm. And everybody loved Bob Burkett. I mean, they really did. And I miss those days, and I know you do too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what in the world did you do after Central?
Well, after Central, I went out to MTSU for a year and a half.
Which is normal back then.
And then the Army was about ready to draft me. And I said, "Nope, you're not going to draft me. I'm going to join if I can get what I want to study," which was photography. So I went up and talked to the Army recruiter. And I said, "I'll join the Army if you guarantee me I can study photography." And he said, "Yeah, we'll guarantee you that." And, of course, once you sign your name, you belong to the United States government.
Did you have it written in the contractual form that you got to study?
Well, they will tell you they can guarantee you something. But once you're in that Army, they don't have to give you nothing. But I was very lucky and very fortunate that I was able to study photography. But I met so many people in the Army who did not get what they were promised they were going to get to study.
So you actually got to do what they promised.
I did. 3 years and stationed in Germany for 2.5 years.
Now, while you were studying, did you actually work for the Army in that particular field? Taking specific photos that they would like to have for their image?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Right. We'll come right back with you and we'll talk more about that.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Name brand patio furniture blowout sale at A-Plus Liquidation in Murfreesboro on Ridgely Road.
A-Plus Liquidation has just received a truckload of brand name patio furniture. You need to get there now before it goes. It is phenomenal furniture at fantastic prices. A-Plus Liquidation at the end of Ridgely Road between Chewy's and Chili's.
Call the liquidation hotline at 898-6780.
Stay ahead of severe weather. Get breaking news and local sports scores first. This is Jenny Williams at Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna. We sponsor text alerts from WGNSradio.com. Look for the sign-up link on the homepage. It's a free service.
All across the South, fans young and old gather to root on their favorite Atlanta Braves.
Driven. Oh, my.
High and deep to right field. Way out of here. A 2-1 mammoth home run for Freddie Freeman.
They listen together, taking in every moment of Chipper's final season.
The pitch to Chipper. Hit high and deep. Chipper Jones has blistered one to right center field.
This is Why We Chop.
Atlanta Braves baseball is on WGNS.
Okay, Murfreesboro, the quack is back. That's right, you heard it here first. The Ducks are back in town on June 23rd for the Sudsy's Car Wash Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. We plan to float 10,000 rubber ducks down the Stones River, all to raise money for the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. $5 gets a duck entered into the race for a chance to win a $5,000 cash grand prize. You can adopt your ducks online at duckrace.com/Murfreesboro.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers two locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with us. And we have a special guest here with us, Mr. Brandon Witt. And he's been working with the people getting Blackman Barbecue ready. And I presume that you've been working some with John L. Beatty.
I guess I'll
or
admit to that.
Have you seen him out there?
I've seen him a time or two.
Yeah. I've heard him on the telephone and I've heard him on the radio, but I actually haven't seen any results of what he's been doing.
Well, if I could get him out of the air-conditioned tractor, he'd do better. But right now, I'm taking care of the barbecue.
Is it true that Wilbur sits in that tractor, in that air-conditioned tractor, with him while he's
well, Wilbur's right up there with him. They're baling hay right now, and
are they?
Wilbur's well taken care of. So they'll be coming to the barbecue tomorrow. I think we'll leave Wilbur at home. It's going to be a little hot to get him out tomorrow.
Now, you guys are going to open up tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Ag Pavilion out at Lane Agri Park.
Now, there's plenty of parking and everything else over there.
Plenty of parking.
And you've got all the facilities ready for everybody to just. If I go a little bit early, will they let me in? Or
you can probably come get a pony ride, Truman. I think Pony Man's going to be there about 4 o'clock. So
really?
You can come be the first one and try it out.
Oh, I love that. Now it costs $8 to get in.
That's right.
That's for an adult.
That's right.
But you just handed me 4 tickets to the Blackman Barbecue.
That's
for
right. The Blackman Community Club would like to take the first caller here in the WGNS, and we'd like to give away a family of 4 tickets for tomorrow night's barbecue.
Oh, you can't beat that. All right, Larry, get off the phone. You know, it's pretty nice of all of us. When Brandon came in, we could have gotten those tickets and said, you know, we'll call after you leave and we'll make sure everybody gets a shot at that.
That is true.
And it won't take long to give away those 4 tickets.
And so, folks,
okay, all you have to do is call WGNS and you have 4 tickets available for tomorrow. And do we already have a winner? No.
Not yet.
So, Rutherford County, you better be calling in.
Phone lines are busy. We can't get the caller through.
Call in WGNS and get these tickets for the barbecue, Blackman Barbecue.
You know, Brandon, a lot of people in the Blackman area have been working on this for many years. I've been going to them for almost as long as I can remember. And it's such a great event. It doesn't only support the Blackman community, but it's great for Rutherford County as a whole.
Oh,
and
definitely.
I really appreciate what you guys do, because sometimes it's almost like a political happening, because half the people that show up have got some kind of something on their chest to signify. Do what?
Your winner's on the phone.
Okay. You want me to put my ears on? Oh, okay. That's Zach Troutman, who has given us signs. Welcome aboard. Hello, winner.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Who have I got?
I am Mary Fletcher.
Mary Fletcher. Bless your heart, Mary. You're going to be our winner of the four tickets.
Super.
That is great.
Yes, it is.
Now, you can, how are we going to do this? You can pick them up here at the radio station, and we'll have them here available, and we'll have your name on them, Mary.
Okay, sweetie.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And
bye-bye.
I know you're going to have a great time. I look forward to seeing you there. You know, that's what I really like about the barbecue is I get to see so many people that I never get to see except for that one particular day.
You know, Truman, that's where I first met you. It's probably been 12 years ago or so, but when I first met you and moved up here to the Blackman community, it was my first experience to meet you as sheriff. And always,
bless your heart.
I always appreciated everybody coming out to the barbecue and supporting that and supporting that rural way of life that we still have there in Blackman. And what a great privilege it is to be able to share that with all of Rutherford County.
You know, it was hot and it was steamy and there was flies out there and everything else, but I would not have missed it for the world when you used to have it at the old clubhouse. And we'd park across the street, and of course all the emergency personnel would be out there to make sure that everybody was taken care of when they're parking their car or whatever. But it became almost larger than life. It was one of those things that Larry, instead of out photographing a wedding, he should be over there preserving history, because that's basically what you've got. I mean, you can have photos there that you can keep for generations to come.
Now, you can come in the clubhouse at any given time, and you can walk around all four of those walls and see decades of generations and new family members that have come along and just dove right in and started working at the barbecue. And that's what it's all about. It's all about family and getting out and coming to an affordable event that you can bring all the family to, and in-laws and outlaws, if you call them that, and just come out and have a great time.
Actually, I've taken my Aunt Nancy. She's going with Aunt Nancy McNabb. And you're right. I can tell you, I probably see more family members there than I will in a lot of other things, except for my 4th of July. Well, I mean, all the family gets together there. But it has to be neat growing up in a neighborhood like Blackman has.
Oh, certainly.
There.
Certainly.
But
does.
It's changed. It's changed in some ways.
Changed in some ways, but the nostalgia's still there. And that's what we hope to keep with the Blackman Barbecue and events such as that, with the community club still being there and being a thriving statue of the community. And you know, we're able to preserve yesterday and to show that to the next generation that's coming on and to all those that have moved in to Blackman. We welcome them to the club. You know, a small membership fee, but we would love to have you if you live out in the Blackman community. We'd love to have you.
Tell me about that. Tell me about
you know, every first Tuesday of the month, we have a covered dish supper there on the grounds at 6:30, and we welcome anybody that's out in the Blackman community to come on in. We'll even let you go first in line, and even if you don't bring a dish the first time, it's all right. We'll still let you eat. So,
what do you guys do at your meetings when you all get together? I'm sure you're focused on things that are needed over that area.
Well, we're focused on things that needed in the community, but also it's a great platform to keep ourselves involved with what's mm-hmm. going on in the community, what's going on in the county and in the city. There's so many things as the city continues to get closer to us. You know, mm-hmm. we've got to be more involved and having a voice there, and it's just a great opportunity for people to come together and to learn more about what happens in their community and what will happen in the community in years to come.
How is when you have new people that come in from outside the area, how does their input work with the people that have been there for years and years and actually many generations that they've got deep roots there?
Well, it actually works very well. You know, a lot of times when you do the same thing in and out every day mm-hmm. and every year, you get a little mundane and a little stale on maybe some of your ideas.
Not Blackman.
Not Blackman. Not Blackman. We're on the forefront of technology right here with barbecue. So, you know, it's great to have new people to come in and to give up new ideas. You know, we're going to the Ag Pavilion out at Lane Agri-Park this year, and that idea came from some of our newer members that, hey, this might be a great location to look at, and we're hoping that it gives you more of that small town barbecue like it once did out at the club grounds. So we think it's going to be a great place to host the barbecue and a good outdoor event, and going to have a lot of barbecue smoke rolling. So pony rides and shaved ice and all types of things for kids to come out, and just really think that it's going to be a great place to host this family event.
Well, I, for one, am ready to go right now. In fact, I'm starting to get hungry already.
Let's go.
What about you?
Let's go.
I'll tell you what,
ready.
Truman, I've got to go set up chairs, so I think you're done here in just a few minutes, and I'll wait on you, and we can go on out and start setting up.
Hey, I'll be right there. I tell you what, Brandon, I've got a few things to do. You head on out there and just wait for me. And if I'm not there before the sun goes down, I guarantee you I'll be there tomorrow at 5 o'clock. By 5 o'clock.
I don't know if that's a good deal or not.
Anything if you need me to do, I will be glad to do it when I get there. But of course, I have my Aunt Nancy with me, so she'll want me to stay with her while we're eating.
I'm sure she can work too, so that'd be okay.
She can. Well, this show was shot again. Brandon, you didn't do it. You didn't close it down. Actually, Larry and Al and myself, we closed it down.
Well, now you're talking about someone having a good radio voice. Brandon over here.
He does have a great
radio voice. Sure does.
I look better on the radio than I do on TV.
Now, what would you want to swap jobs one day? And you can come in here and do my show, and then I'll go out there and ride around in the air-conditioned tractor.
You think you could handle the GPS and all the buttons on the tractors nowadays, Truman?
You got to be kidding me.
I think you could do it. If John L. can do it, you can. I'll teach you.
John L. has been doing it a long time. I will be a novice. I'll guarantee you it's over my head. I can't deal with anything that's electronic. But I enjoyed having you on, Al, Larry. And it was just a special show today. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Brandon.
Well, thank you so much for your support.
And tell John L. I want him to wait on me personally tomorrow. See you guys Friday, tomorrow.